The holidays are just around the corner.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome to Cracking the Reality Code with Johanna Sand. In a world seemingly gone mad, what if you had the opportunity to shift your consciousness to reflect your divine nature quickly and safely? What would that look like, and how would that feel? This is your opportunity to become the peace-filled center of the storm rather than be consumed by it. The world is awakening, and so are you. And now, here is Johanna.
Hello. This is Johanna Sand, and welcome to our Saturday afternoon live radio program, Cracking the Reality Code. I'm here as usual with my co-host, who is in another continent, It's Lillian Wilkinson. She's in California. I am in Ecuador, and we are delighted today to have a wonderful guest who I've known for quite a few years, a very interesting woman, and I will read a short bio of her in a moment. But first of all, I just logistically want to let people know that we do have a live call-in board today, and that number is 213-233-3998, 213-233-3998. We always welcome any contribution you want to make. So thanks. And again, we are on truthfrequencylive.com. If you're tuning in, you're tuning in there today. So again, we at Cracking the Reality Code, we were aware that it's timely more than ever that we begin to inquire about what's going on. What are we? What's real? What's happening in a world of appearing intense chaos and polarity? So it always informs us, and we are cracking that code as we speak. So I want to introduce our esteemed guest today, Becca
Sigani.
Sigani. That's her public name, I believe. She has a couple others. She writes under that name. She is the author of Venus and Her Lover, Transforming Myth, Sexuality, and Ourselves, part of a tantric art project in collaboration with artist J.G. Bond. And having lived on four continents, she has traveled worldwide, giving workshops on meditation, activism, tantra, breathwork, community collaboration, and ecstatic dance. Currently living in Ecuador, in Vilcabamba, where I was just visiting, she also works as a relationship coach and mediator. Becca believes that personal transformation and awareness of our place in the cosmos are the crucial steps to building a world that is sustainable, just, and beautiful. Her favorite slogan is, pleasure heals. And just an aside, in my personal experience with Rebecca over probably close to 10 years, I've seen her wear many hats. She's a community liaison activist with, I think, the greater Ecuadorian community where she lives and where she is. She's fluent in Spanish. She's always brings what I call a collaborative bent wherever she goes. And she is relied upon. I have a few jokes. So she's the foundation, I feel, a lot of the community, particularly in Vilcabamba. and an international liver, which I think has expanded and broadened her perspective greatly. So without further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over. And I know Lillian and I will probably have some questions and comments along the way, as well as any of you. And I'm going to turn it over to Rebecca to kind of give us an intro. We may kind of delve into the tantric topic today because it's an important part, I think, of what we're all learning. Not tantric, I mean only in the sexual energy, but the tantric merging with everything that is.
All right, so let's start this gathering of all of us with a poem. And this poem is an excerpt from the Pillow Book of Venus and Her Lover, which is a book of art and poetry yet to be published. And this is called Rebirth of Venus. With the turning of the wheel of ages, a comet passes stirring the ashes, where once there stood a temple for the pilgrims of the heart. Ashes of our ancestral titans whose bodies ached to hold a woman and taste sweet sap in priestess groves where they learned of love as art. Planets quiver in their celestial dome to witness emerging from the ocean foam the one to hold the vision for the jaded and forlorn. Although they're mortal still and worldly wary, man and woman, tiring adversaries, faintly hear the mythical sigh when Venus is reborn. Hypnotizing is her luminescence. Ancient wisdom rings her pink pubescence. Only a goddess can deliver erotic love unto the earth. Divine desire, with its pure intentions, serves to banish vanity's illusions. Neither jealous nor possessive, beauty begets its own rebirth. What joy! The Vestal Maid stirs and arouses. The goddess in each woman is brought out, and godmen join the temple dance when Venus is reborn. Together, they celebrate the golden ages mourn.
Wow. Thank you, Becca. That was so beautiful. And you read that with such passion. And you know what it stirs in me is the realization that as a woman, it's taken me a really long time in my life path to fully accept, even knowing what that fully meant. And many, many years ago, I remember I was part of a woman's group, and that was something I never wanted to be. I didn't want to be around other women. I kind of preferred the tomboy men workplace, that whole thing. And I really softened to other women, and I got a different perspective of myself and the feminine powers in the world, because I never saw them as a power. I actually saw it as kind of a minus, especially in the workplace. And not consciously so, but in my soul, I think I felt that. But now coming to the point of view of non-duality, and I think of what you're speaking of, and I said I was reading parts of your book about the ecstatic dance and the tantra, the weaving of the two powers. And I'm seeing it now as, for me, the feeling of the Venus rising within myself, with embracing the divine feminine within myself, is the ability to encompass everything that seems to be separate from me and to bring it into wholesomeness. And that means form. So now when I think of ecstatic dance, which I've participated before, just, you know, the body's dancing, I now see ecstatic dance as dancing with all things, with all forms that seem to be separate, but understanding that we're all form, we're all dancing in this field of infinite possibility that is ever in motion. And that to me is the feminine rising. That's how it feels for me personally. And I love it because it frees me up, my energies up to be in a more playful place with all things. And I love your saying how you say, you know, pleasure heals, because that's what I feel like I'm coming into. And I'm, maybe that's what the whole Venus thing, at least in part, means. What do you think?
Yes, well, I love the dance as a metaphor, and I have really drilled down into the magic and medicine of dance. So my approach is shamanic, using the power of presence, first of all, and then movement, because everything in the universe is spinning. Everything in the manifest universe is in motion. We try to hold on to like static, never changing things, but that's just going contrary to the way life flows. So learning how to be present with what is, whether it's quiet and inward and grounding, or it's, you know, excited and moving and spinning. I mean, the Sufi mystics tapped into what that's all about. So ecstatic dance, that's why I have founded a couple dances and why I promote it. I invite people to the dance as a medicine ceremony, the medicine being the music and the dance, and as a spiritual practice, because it sure is for me. Now, about your beautiful realizations and integration about the divine feminine, now's the time. I mean, we live in a world of duality. So we are the ones who incarnated here who chose to learn through contrast. So we can call it up, down, and black and white, and good and bad, and masculine and feminine. And these are different sets of characteristics, but as we weave them together, they're already woven together. They've been a bit torn apart by our system and marginalized and demonized. However, it is our true nature is the one, but we're the ones who chose to come at the one through a duality reality. So being able to embrace the masculine and the feminine, and then the androgen, the mixing of those two, is all skirting the edges, lovely, delightful edges of the one reality.
Mm-hmm. And just to add to that, the tantra, I don't claim to know the official interpretation of the meaning of the word tantra. I think it encompasses a lot, but it evokes that the energy of the one bridging through polarities that we're dancing in. And we've been identified with those polarities. We've been identified, you know, as a woman, a man, good, bad, right, wrong, the whole dynamic. And the tantric approach, and I want to hear more from you, Rebecca, on this, but it's just the energetic merging dance of I am that I've put outside of myself. And I think our ability to go into a higher level through dance, through trance, through whatever means that we draw to us is really a huge part of the work right now. Because of what are the splintering of our world and the intensity that we're experiencing now has to mean within the greater totality that we're seeking this union.
Yes. Tantra, most people associate tantra with sexual practices, and that's true. That is an aspect of tantra. However, tantra is a path. No, it's not a path. It is a practice. because I said it's a path, but it's not, you're not going anywhere. It's not a journey you are embarking upon. It is a peeling away of layers. Tantra believes that we're here. We're it. We're the all that is. We just are seduced and blinded and forgetful about who we really are. So a lot of the tantric practices are about presence, to be present and open your awareness more and more and more. Now, the fact that it's a non-dual philosophy means that it is also a revolutionary philosophy, because it's not going to align completely with the ascending current or the descending current in spirituality. And I can explain that. The ascending current religions, which are mostly the religions of the book, like Christianity, Judaism, Islam, even Buddhism, say, okay, we're down here in the corrupt world or the illusion or the fallen world, which is bad. But the truth is up there somewhere in heaven or transcending the, you know, transcending the illusion in nirvana. And that's where we want to go. And in order to go there, in other words, these are religions that have paths, you've got to, you know, pray and take communion and go to confession and meditate and eat a certain diet and yada, yada, yada. So that's ascending, looking upward to God or the sublime. And then there's the descending current religions, which are the religions of the earth, that says, no, what we see, what we can feel this here on this earth is what's true. And so it's like worshiping the earth mother, Pachamama, Gaia, so forth. It's also scientism, which takes the scientific perspective of, if I can't see it and prove it, it doesn't exist. So that's descending current. Well, Tantra says, okay, if you want to play, you know, if life is play, if you want to play, go ahead and play with that ascending current till you remember that, yes, this is all illusion. Yes, there is the sublime and you're it. And then if you feel like it and want to play some more, you can descend and come into the body, come into the earth and play your own expression of the all that is in your way. So the body is considered sacred. Everything, it's purely a way of seeing. In the tantric perspective, if you are in the depths of despair, that is real and true, and that is beautiful. So you get to not wallow in it, but understand that that is part of the all that is too. And if you're in the ecstasy of sexual union with your lover, you get to say, oh, and this is it too. And I get to expand and soar on this orgasm. And that's, find the beauty and the reality of that too. So Tantra is all encompassing. And it's not going to take kindly to any religion that's trying to corral you or have you worship somebody or have you look for a savior. So that's why it has often been underground, because it has threatened the political landscape of religions and actually governments. The revolutionary movement of India was born in the tantric ashrams. So Tantra is a very broad, all-encompassing way to embrace life, and it's my spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm. That was very well said. Thank you so much. There's, I'm sure, many questions we can push forth with you, but that I keep tying it just in what Lillian and I have been exploring lately on our cracking show, you know, is what I call the second leg. And you brought up, you know, that first of all, we have to see the ascending. We're not this, we're sort of blindly identified with matter initially. Mm-hmm. And we know where that takes us, you know, and when that starts to feel very limited, the transcendent movement gets much stronger. And I think many of us on the path go there, however we can touch that sublime, you know, the deep being level. And of course we want it to be permanent. It never is in that sense, you know, but the taste of the one taste is so potent. And yet here we are looking all around us. And aren't you ladies hungry for not having to reject, you know, how can I put it? I think that is that path of transcendent gets to be rejecting after a while, you know, meaning, oh, I don't want to feel this. This is bad. This is something I shouldn't be feeling. I'm losing my enlightenment or these such things. But when what you just said, with whatever is arising, is the one, the Tantra seems to be the way to break open and release the light from what appears to be darkness.
Yes. Also, those who transcend, and, you know, I like to regularly trend and, oh, this is all illusion. But there's a reason I'm an activist.
Tell us more about your activism. Yes, go on.
Okay, I worked for a decade as an environmental activist when I lived in the Caribbean. And then I've worked as an activist here in Ecuador. I've worked with women. I've worked with the environment. And I've worked with multicultural integration. Because my own flavor of my expression and my expression as a tantrika is that all that I have learned, all that I have been able to understand as part of me, I naturally have the desire to share that. It's that bodhisattva desire, right? Like, oh, this is all illusion. Wait, we don't have to suffer. Okay, wait, I want to tell everybody. But like right now, a shit ton of suffering going on. There is the Kali Yuga, the age of destruction, is just falling down around us. And, you know, those of you listening in the West or in the Western part of the U.S., it's burning to the ground, right? Reality is intense and sharp. And so in the face of that, while I do need my meditation to ground myself and not get carried away with sorrow and despair and so forth, what it compels me to do is participate. Because if this reality, my understanding of this reality is, it is my projection. So I am projecting this showdown, this final battle of good and evil and all the stuff that's going on. So I want to play. I want to play in that too and be, to the best of my ability, an example of what embracing it all is. And again, since my favorite slogan is pleasure heals, I am going to be looking for the fun in that. So for example, activism means collaboration with others. So in our committee meetings, I'm always looking to, you know, like I serve tea and cake and we're there to have a good time. It's like, I have to remind everyone, even though it's a lot of work, hey, this is what this is our idea of a good time. Let's have fun.
I like that. That is a great way of defining activism, because I think in a way activism can get a bad name, because, you know, you can think of an angry person fighting against something. And, you know, even when you were talking about in the West here, where things are burning to the ground, and we've had a lot of fires, so that's literally quite true. There's a lot of stuff going down, no question. And yet, when we can stand in that spaciousness of understanding that this is all a reflection of a greater movement that can only be purposeful to serve all of life, and we are in a dance with it, and we just choose to do what feels right and natural for us in that moment, so that, you know, even though there is a lot going down, I know a lot of people who are fine and who are doing okay. And in fact, maybe in many ways have gotten a lot from being locked up in their homes. And a lot of good has come from it too. So it's really hard. It gets harder to put a label on anything anymore. The more we stand in the more spacious field of this is all a movement of possibilities. And we all just move to the tune that feels right and natural for us. And if we can do this in a way that is just more encompassing, so we're not fighting against something, we're just moving to what our passion and our excitement is showing us we like and enjoy, life just becomes an entirely different experience. And I think, to me, going back to what I was feeling earlier, this to me means Venus rising. I don't know if that has any reality in any of the studies of that, but that to me is the feminine, embracing all aspects of life.
Yes, I agree. That is the feminine holds. And right now, we need that loving kindness. And right now, more than ever, we need the divine masculine. So how that looks right now, for example, could be, all right, there are these forces on the planet at work that want to, let's say, vaccinate and microchip everybody and control them and mutate their DNA and turn them into hybrid humans. Now, personally, I love humanity for all of our foibles, for all of our stumbling around. I love humans. So I can pull up my masculine force and say, okay, you guys, you cabal or whoever you are that want to do this, you have a right to do that, sure. And we have a right to say no. And we will not play your game. We're not going to participate in this final battle as the way you're rolling it out. So the masculine stands truth and justice. And that's an important part for the masculine and the feminine to be balanced.
Great conversation. And after our break, we'll get back to this. This is very juicy stuff. And I think we're all...
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
Hello, welcome to the second part of our Saturday afternoon live radio show, Cracking the Reality Code. And Lillian and I today are excited about our guest, Becca Zigani. Becca is, if you've heard the first half of our show, has a lot, I think, of very relevant information and a lifetime of application and embodiment of the passion that's taken her over. So I think we're very honored to have her perspective here today. And she's talked to us about Tantra and other things. I have a couple she does have a website, and we will have a connection to her on our website, which is now open. It's crackingtherealitycode.com. We'd love to have any of our listeners or people who are interested in what we're sharing. We have lots of resources on the website, and you can subscribe and get notices from us. So thanks for that. And we'll have a way to get in touch with Becca, and she can also share her website with us.
I'll just say it's Venus and her lover, venusandherlover.com. And it's Venus and her lover on Facebook. If you go to the website, you'll get the links to Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, and everywhere where we are.
The usual suspects.
Yeah. Yeah. When I'm not being censored, which does happen.
Right. Well, we had a pretty interesting buildup before the break, and maybe we can kind of segue back in if any of you ladies can pick up the thread here.
I was talking about the balancing of the masculine and feminine energies, the feminine being what it holds and encloses and nurtures, and the masculine being what stands up and for truth and takes responsibility and follows through. So, and I, those two tendencies are within each of us. I'm often invited to actually conferences where I speak to men, which I love, because I get to say to men, you know, oh yeah, you're frustrated and you don't like the world the way it is. Well, please stand up, because we got this way because of a paucity of the divine masculine. What we got instead was the masculine principle gone rogue. The pathological masculine principle is what has gotten us into what I call this dominator system. Some people call it patriarchy, but it's held up by men and women and was put forth by men and women. So it's all it is the triumph of pathological masculine values. So I talk a lot about this dominator system that it's time. If we want to survive as a species, which, you know, everything in the universe is neutral, we can, you know, fade out, and we will at some point. But if humanity wants to survive, I feel now is our moment of truth, where we are embodying our truth. So we need the masculine force to do that. And the divine feminine, not the pathological feminine, which is manipulative and whining and victim about it. Oh, I'm the victim of my parents' upbringing, and I don't have money, and I, blah, 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 on and on and on. Victim, 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 is the pathological feminine. So we need the divine masculine, and we need the divine feminine, which says, wait, this Pachamama, this Mother Earth is my mother. I'm not going to let you polluting industry or hog farm or, you know, pesticide manufacturer. No, I am not going to let you do that anymore, because I must defend and protect my mother. If we all come into the divine and sublime masculine and feminine, we'll have a different planet. And the tantric perspective is that everything is divine. So even the polluters, even the controllers are the ones, in my opinion, and I had no shortage of hardship in my life. So when I get into those hard times, I look at who I think are my adversaries, and I say, okay, what are you here to teach me? You're here, obviously, because I invited you, maybe in a weak moment, or I was delusional or whatever, but here you are, and you, whatever this is, you know, that someone has betrayed me, or I am having a health issue, or, you know, I don't have enough money, what, you know, whatever the hard time is there for me to work on my perception. Am I going to perceive this as it's just going to destroy me, and I, you know, can't stand up as my own self anymore? Or am I going to, well, I find that if I own it, if I say this, for example, I'm being attacked by entities. The demons are swarming over me. What am I going to do? I'm a victim. No, I have to look at these forces, whatever I want to call them, and say, okay, you guys, I obviously made a contract for you to come here, for me to see something. I want to see what that is, and then I can dissolve the contract, and then I am free. What happens every time is that more of my divine self comes online. What had been hidden and pushed down in my shadow because of these, you know, things poking at me and trying to stick me or run me through with a sword, depending. Is there for me to claim my full power embodied?
Very nice. I'm really glad back around to that inner perspective, Becca, and it reminds me of a little story I heard just recently. And it's about a shaman who was called into a town that was facing death because of a drought. And it was a severe drought and all the crops were dying. The people were very worried. So they called the shaman in. And the shaman said, okay, just leave me alone. I'm going to go into the hut for like 3 or 4 days and I'll come out when I'm done. And within about 3 days, it started to rain. And the people, of course, were very happy. And the shaman came out and the people said, well, thank you so much. What did you do? And he said, well, when I came here, I just felt the imbalance in the energies. And so all I did was work within to balance within myself. That's all I did. And that is why it rained.
Beautiful.
And right? Isn't that what we're saying? So it's like, and it doesn't matter whether you go out there, you know, the shaman could have done a rain dance. Perhaps that's what the movement was for him. And then there are others who will go in the hut and say, okay, where is the imbalance in me that I invited? Because it's within my field, right? And so where is the imbalance here? And how can I just, to your point earlier, Becca, be present? Just be present with it and let it reveal. And as it reveals to you, you can say, oh, I've been imbalanced here, or I see this here. And we balance ourselves. And the out there, the outside picture, kind of takes care of itself. And
right.
So we each have our role.
Yeah. And I see it as that transfiguration. You know, the sensei, the image that comes up for me a lot of a hologram. You know, we are a hologram, but we are complete. We have that whole totality within us. But the projection of what we're looking at is all of ourselves are out there in these disparate pieces of what we call the appearance of good and evil, and the, call it the different roles here. And I think, ladies, most of us, from what we're sharing, know that when we're triggered, when we're feeling something shouldn't be happening or it's not going the way we think it should be going, that's an opportunity. You know, whatever dissonance comes our way, and we're in a lot of appearing dissonance right now. And, you know, to your point about balance or merging, and that's what I use for tantra. My word for tantra is merging. Mm-hmm. It's emerging. We're emerging and we're merging. And we're emerging divine self that is clearly clearing the tracks with all our programs that we've projected out in the world, right? So this world is doing us a favor by mirroring those pieces that we have to own and eat. I think of Pac-Man. You remember Pac-Man? Mm-hmm. With the mouth, and it would just go around like merging and eating it all. And that's, to me, a sort of a symbol of the transfiguration that's going on. But what an opportunity. And I think the essence of what I'm hearing from both of you today so eloquently, but in a little different style, is this paradigm shift that we're going through where we know we are the power. We are that power. We have all these forces coming at us in our own projections that tell us we don't have that power. We're at the effect of all kinds of situations. And that's the work, because that's not really real, although it certainly does appear that way. So the process is not about, oh, you can't feel that. You shouldn't feel bad. You shouldn't look this way. You shouldn't. No, no, no. Everything that's arising within that is just really opportunity. And we all know that really realizing something that's been pushed back and hidden for so long sometimes does not feel good.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I think our fortitude with learning how to deal with experience just for its own sake without our wild interpretation in stories that create a whole thing around it and make us really hard to even touch what we're feeling.
So a lot of my work in the tantric realm is around this sexual that everybody has. I mean, as a therapist, I just am continually aghast at the, you know, rampant pedophilia, the sexual wounds that children have received. And so I came to conclude that the Dominator system, that is one of their strategies. It's a trauma-based mind control system. And as we wake up from that, we're going to get to dive into those wounds. And lo and behold, when you go to that 3-year-old or 5-year-old or 8-year-old, whatever, that child within you that might have been wounded sexually.
Or otherwise.
But I'm, you know, it's the kind of work that I'm doing. We then get to work on healing the wound. And then we're whole. And then we're free. So the part of what is powering me or inspiring me is that this, in this world of duality, where I've chosen to engage with adversaries, and a lot of them, you know, the whole audience can name whatever names they want to name, whether it's Trump or Cabal or the royal family or whatever, all these adversaries who have traumatized us. If I take responsibility for having contracted them for this incarnation to help me learn my power, help me plug into my infinite power, and then I can stand and radiate truth and justice and sustainability and love. That is how I respond. And then it becomes delightful. Mm-hmm. And the experiencing the divine within and the divine without means that everything is sacred. And we are in a very sacred moment. I am not exaggerating when I think that this generation, we could lose humanity if the transhumanist agenda triumphs. It'll be the end of the human race. So I take it seriously, and I feel the momentousness. I feel what a sacred moment this is for all of us, or as many of us, to feel that too, like, wow, this is amazing to be at just in that balance point. We don't know which way it's going to go yet, that this balance point for a whole life form, a whole race of beings. It's a privilege to be here now. And I'm in the game. I'm here to participate. It's obviously a fun. Of course, could be argued it's a perverse sense of fun, but here we are.
Well, fun is fun, right? No limits on fun. But, you know, that brings to mind somebody famous said, trauma isn't what happens to you. It's how we perceive what happens to us, right? So it's our perception. And so the beautiful thing is we can choose to shift our perception, right? We can change the story. So where one can have the story of, oh my God, the humanity could come to an end and it's terrible and these evil people are trying to do it to us. You can look at it, wow, this is the most exciting time that ever has ever been. And I chose this. How exciting. Let's play. And everything in between. So this is so a beautiful thing. And I'm going to bring quantum physics in here because that is what actually the field, we are living in a living field. Nothing is hard and fixed, even though it looks that way. It isn't. And we're all flowing and moving within this field. And how we perceive it is how we will experience it. And we have the power to shift our perception. And, you know, it could be argued that there is no me here to have a perception shift and that I have no free choice. And we can speak from that point of view as well. But I kind of see it as if we're going to embrace humanity, you know, we are free to be humans. We are free to be humans. And we're not free to be not human, because it's what we are. So in one sense, we have freedom, and in one sense, we don't. We have the freedom to be what we were created to be. And that's the discovery. We're discovering that, like, there's this big bag of undiscovered goodies within us. And it is now a spiritual, energetic thing. It's not, it doesn't have to do with form. We're realizing now that it is more dreamlike, and to your point, Johanna, more hologram, like a hologram, because it, the shift begins within our own conscious awareness of how we're going to perceive this. And then we see the outward form responding to that. And so nothing is hard and fixed, really. And that's the joyful bit of it. That's the playful bit of it. And it's also the mysterious bit of it, because it's a collective field. We don't know what's going to come up. But I think the fact that there's so many of us having this kind of conversation, I think that's making the shift for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a, it, the field is palatable.
Yeah.
That sense of power that all of us have alluded to be vessels for this power. And, you know, we went through a materialist objectivist reality where, you know, the world of matter mattered. You know, the world of matter was the truth. And, you know, we're coming out of that paradigm, which probably needed to happen as it did happen. You know, who knows how this all unfolds. But that piece of us being separate, random things is clearly coming to an end, you know, because the awareness of the essence of ourselves, that we are observing and creating our world as we're going on. How liberating is that? You know, and the game is liberation, you know, because the game seems to be where we have obstacles all over the place, you know, a good chess game. You know, we have to look through things that don't appear to be what they are. Well, it is very engaging to do that once we're on fire with, you know, this is so beyond what I imagined in my acquisition of knowledge or, you know, ego satisfaction. You know, what we're doing now is such a bigger game, but, you know, probably a game nonetheless. But as Becca said, I'm really engaged, and that's what I can say to the people I have around me a lot now. They're engaged people. They're not allowing anything to sidetrack them. Do we have bad days? Shit, yes. Do we have things that looks like we're going backwards? Yeah. You know, but let's not get sidetracked. You know, let's see that if we appear to be going backwards, it's only because we need to pick up a loop. Stitch.
In my therapy practice, one of the exercises I'll give my clients is to every day go outside and just walk without purpose until your eyes fall on something, whatever it is. It could be, you know, a crumpled can in the gutter. It could be a rose blooming, but it's more uplifting, I guess, if you look at nature. Find the, just breathe it in and be fully present with whatever it is that you are communing with visually. And the, what happens is that it like then opens up and it's beautiful. And I, being, you know, with a hedonistic tendency, I want to enjoy, I want to have pleasure. And that is our choice, because we live in a world of myriad things. And they are all part of what we get to play with while we're here. And so I know, okay, Kali Yuga, cycle of destruction, even in that there's beautiful. And even in that there's birthing. And I'm feeling that birthing among, I mean, I have so many of my circle of friends who've said, I was born for this moment. And it's so thrilling to be here at a time when the human race is making a collective choice for life or destruction.
That's beautiful.
And it's an awakening, right? It's an awakening from the dream that matter is a separate thing, that all form is different than what we are. And, you know, the weaving of the tantric practice, I'll take some license here, is understanding that what we call form is energy in a different form. It's just a different form. And what we are is energy too. you know? And so we're playing, we're in this field of creativity. And when we can see it that way, we do become creative, because it's, we're freeing up what was locked into a box of this is this way and that is that way and there's labels and this can't happen. Now you're in a field of infinite possibilities where anything can happen at any moment. And that, to me, that feels like that's the awakening from the dream, that everything has is hard and fixed in one way only, and only has this meaning. And if you don't agree with that meaning, then I'm at odds with you. All of that goes away.
So quantum jumping.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And quantum understanding, you know, is knowing that there really is no time and space. These are constructs that are useful. You know, they appear that we're traveling down this linear road. And, you know, just like the table that Beck and I are sitting in front of now looks very solid. It's very useful. It has a, you know, the computer's here, the mic is here, but it really is not solid. Now, this is without a shadow of a doubt that this is true. And, you know, our nervous system projects density. That's the part of the role of the nervous system. So as we're observing reality through a perceptual observer, we're creating all the forms and density. And then we're simultaneously now unlocking ourselves from the identity of that fixed form. And we're dealing with that in our body, minds, thought processes, you know, and we're having to come upon this, call it new perspective in lots more, I think, empathy and passion for ourselves in all of it. You know, everyone who appears to be separate and born into this body and in the mirror of everything we see is in the same boat. And in the timing of things, some things look like they're horribly primitive. And, you know, the worst of humanity is showing up. But no, it's all happening at once. You know, the best is showing up as well as the worst to show us that they're really the same energy.
And that we can choose to suffer through this, or we can choose to appreciate it or delight in it. Mm-hmm. It's all up to us.
Yeah. And if we've been bitten, I call it, if the fire is alive, and, you know, we don't know how we're formed and all the influences, but if the passion and the hunger to wake up to that infinite self, the one power here is alive in us, all I say, if it's waking up out there in our listeners, you know, in a conversation, run with it, because it's running with you.
That's right.
and I think that is the most important piece. There's lots of tools. Rebecca's a tool sharpener. She's got lots in her things. Lillian's got her tools. I have mine. But tools are tools. But it's the real passion and the hunger that's the motivator here, you know. And I'd say that that's cracking open out of whatever world we're, that's where the light gets in, right, Leonard Cohen?
Yes, and now more than ever. Now is the time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, we are going to be, I think, hitting the end of our time together. I'd like to, this was an, I enjoyed this hour with my dear friends here and with our passion. So please join us again. We hope we can come back on.
Venus, like the goddess, venusandherlover.com.
Yeah, and we are crackingtherealitycode.com. We'll have connections to that. Thanks for joining us today.